Hello and welcome back to the Artist Journey podcast. It has been a wild couple weeks. It's now March and this is my first time recording in March. And I'm just kind of reflecting on the wildness that was February. I had all these shows, as I mentioned on here, and all these opportunities come my way that I'm so grateful for. And I've just sort of been thinking about like how this has happened. And I have some insights I just wanted to share with you guys, because I think there is something that I'm doing differently in my creative practice than I have been before that has started to lend itself to these sorts of opportunities. I would say the biggest shift in myself and in my work lately has not been necessarily like technique or style, but it's been a level of pickiness. Maybe pickiness is not the right word, discernment that I now have about what projects I accept and what kinds of clients I want. And it's really funny because I think as artists, we are so often put in a position where we end up believing that we're in a place of lack. And I think a lot of people in, especially when you're starting out, assume that like you could just, you know, you could use any and all business, right? It's like you're the starving artist mentality that haunts all of us. And there's something kind of wild that I really think happens when you decide like, no, this is the project like I'm working on right now. And I've talked about this in the past, but people just kind of follow suit with that, right? But inevitably, there's going to be people that come to you with their idea and it doesn't align with what maybe you want to be doing. And once again, I think if you're in a place of, you know, financial necessity, like I completely make sense why you would accept a project, even if it doesn't perfectly align with what you want to be doing or what you're currently working on to make ends meet. Like, completely understand. It's not about that. But I sort of forced myself, I gave myself a cushion in the month of January where I decided I'm not going to accept any commissions. I'm just going to work and get this project started that I really want to like get momentum on and get the ball rolling with and not be distracted, and just make sure that I'm very, very clear on what I'm doing right now, what kind of art I'm making, what phase I'm in with my work. And being picky then, I'm now starting to get commission requests. And I have rejected a lot of the commission requests actually, because they just have maybe not been exactly what I want to do, or I don't connect with it. And I'm already can tell that I would be dreading it and not wanting to do that. And I think any project that I do accept from now on, the first question I ask myself is, knowing that I'm going to be working on that, like, do I feel excited to approach the easel with that project in mind, or does that just sound like a paycheck? And there's a time and a place for the paycheck, like, do not get me wrong, but I don't work as fast on projects that are just a paycheck as I do on projects that I feel passionate about, that I have fun with. And so I've learned that it actually, like, the, you know, ROI on projects that I accept as just paychecks usually isn't as good as projects that I accept that I'm passionate about or I find fun and interesting, because I don't work as fast. I'm like slow, I'm dragging my feet on it, I'm putting it off. And I think knowing how you work and what is going to motivate you is really important. And some people, it's just money. You know, it's like, I'm going to work as fast as I can to get like this done. But I think for most artists, that like isn't really the case, right? There's a reason we do what we do, and it has to do with, you know, passion and interest and all of that. And so I just think it's very important to step back occasionally and have a conversation with yourself and see if you are accepting projects, accepting commissions based on from a place of lack, from a place of not believing that another opportunity might come along, or not believing that you could come up with a project that would on your own that would be successful. And what would happen if you kind of flipped the script on that and you decided that you could create your own opportunity. You could create your own project that would be far more successful than any project somebody else could give you. And I think it's so often that we're waiting for somebody else to give us that big break as artists. So often there are gatekeepers in what we do. There's the person who has the wall that they want you to paint. There's, the company that you want to have commission you to do their graphic design or their logo. And you are kind of at the whim of waiting for them to reach out to you. But what if you just did it anyway? And then, you know, they paid attention to you because you already did it. And I feel like that's what's happening to me now. I, for a while, was thinking, like, maybe after I did that Red Hot Ranch painting, I was like, oh, I'm sure people will reach out to me and ask me to do other hot dog stands now that they've seen me do that one. And that'll just kind of naturally fall in place. Well, that didn't happen. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to do this myself. I'm going to make this project and I'm going to be the prompt. I'm going to be the one steering the ship here and having a very clear goal, having the project in mind. And it has now led to like a lot of other opportunities, and people are asking me, and what's something that I really find very satisfying too, is when I tell people I'm doing this hot dog stand series, they always ask me, that's awesome. And what's next? Like, they want to know what the next series is. They want to know what I'm going to focus on next too. So they're along for the ride. They want to see where this journey takes me and what I decide to do after it. And I think that doesn't always happen if you are just kind of going at the whim of waiting for other people to assign you a project. You know, you truly won't know what's next if you're just waiting for somebody else to give you the opportunity. So I think it's a delicate balance, right? Especially it depends on what kind of creativity or what kind of creative field you are in, what kind of artist you are in terms of requiring sort of, you know, the patron, if you will, to give you the prompts and give you the means to do the work. But what are some ways that you could just give yourself an assignment that you could not rely less on somebody else giving you the go ahead to do something? And I really, really firmly believe that that is where the most self-discovery happens. That's where the good stuff happens. That's where you grow as an artist and you push yourself. And there's, of course, ways you push yourself when somebody else is asking you to do it. But when it's up to you and you kind of learn, it's a different kind of learning. Maybe it's not pushing you in a technical way or outside of your comfort zone, but it maybe is pushing you to focus on what your interests are and realizing like just what you are drawn to. And I think that can teach you so much more than just kind of creating work that almost feels just like a homework assignment or a work project. One other thing that I am also balancing right now is that now that I have had this project that has been successful so far, and I think will continue to be successful, I am having a lot of opportunities come my way, which is amazing. But I am the type of person where I get overwhelmed very easily. There's a reason I like to work for myself, manage my own schedule. I like to have a lot of space in my life. I don't like tight turnarounds or deadlines. Even if I do already on my own work quickly, I don't like to be told to work quickly. I don't know. I'm sort of just a rebel in that way. It's not even rebellious. It's more just like, don't tell me to do that. I'll do it on my own time. And then I get it done faster than they even actually wanted me to do it, because that's just how I work. But as soon as you tell me I have to do something, I'm going to drag my feet. So that's who I am. And it's very inconvenient at times. And other times it's great if it's a self-motivated project and I work really well with that. And so knowing yourself and knowing what gets you going, this advice I just gave maybe does not pertain to you at all, because like, you know, for a fact, you're only going to get stuff done if somebody else tells you to do it. In that case, by all means, have somebody else like drive you or tell you what to do so you get it done. But if you know yourself and that you're more self-motivated, and when I say self-motivated, I'm really not saying it in like, oh, that's a better way to be than like the person who's externally motivated by like other people pushing them to do something. Like, one is not better than the other. Like, you can get equal amounts of amazing work done with both, you know, sort of ways of pushing you forward. It just is a matter of like hacking into what makes your brain like function better, what makes you, what motivates you more, and figuring out that hack. And there are just different ways of people, especially as creatives, tapping into getting them in this place, like getting them to the easel, finding time for it, if it is something that you're doing full time, or if you're doing it, you know, part time or after work, you're, an after 5 o'clock artist. There are so many things that can be stacked against you. Even as a full time artist, I so often find myself getting swamped by, you know, fulfilling orders, you know, packaging things, having to go deliver my paintings to get documented, having to go pick up my prints from the printer, going to get new supplies, emails, contracts. Like, I have so many other things, like updating my website, editing content for social media, the list of all the stuff that I have to do to make my business function. Honestly, sometimes I really feel like I have to just have like two separate brains of that and then art, because I do get so overwhelmed sometimes while I'm painting, thinking like, I still haven't responded to those 10 emails and I still haven't, you know, updated my website. And so I've had to really work to compartmentalize so that the two sides of what I do don't butt heads. But right now I am feeling very overwhelmed because I feel like, because of the excitement about this series that I'm doing that I love, I'm afraid of like losing momentum. I'm afraid people are gonna be like, oh, that was cute, and then like not care anymore. And so I feel all this pressure to like keep going faster and make it, but I don't want that either. Like, I want to enjoy this and I want to take my time with it. There's a reason I gave myself like a year end kind of goal, if you will. Like, I have a whole year, and a year is a long time, but it's not as long as you think. But I do feel like I know the pace I'm currently going at, like right at this exact moment, is faster than I can sustain. And I know what sort of pace I am comfortable with, and I'm like a little bit ahead of it. It's sort of like, so I was a cross country runner when I was in high school before I kept getting injured and had to basically retire from running. But there was always a person who was like the pace setter. There was somebody who was really good at knowing like, okay, this is a sustainable pace we're going to be going at, or this is the pace we would need to get this, you know, time for a 5K or whatever. And especially starting out, it usually was somebody who was older and more experienced as a runner that was the pace setter than like someone who's younger, maybe doesn't know their limits as well, because it's shocking how hard it can be sometimes to actually pace yourself. Like, that is like the whole art sometimes of like distance running, or I was also a distance swimmer, is like figuring out the pace. Because if you start out too strong, you will not be able to push where, and you'd think like, oh, that's, you know, if you start out strong, it's great, because then, you know, maybe you'll trail off at the end, but you'll still had that time that you were going really hard, so it's fine. But actually, that's really not how it goes with like distance running or swimming. It's like there's like a point you reach where there's just like this massive drop off. Like, if you go too hard at the beginning, you're gonna fatigue so much that like your pace will drop below like what your average pace maybe would have been, or a pace that would have been like a target, your target goal time that you wanted. And so it's really important to actually stick to the pace and know when to push and when to pull back. And that's really hard for a lot of people to do. It's very different than a sprint. Obviously, there's a reason they say like, you know, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. But I think sometimes people like say that and they don't really think about it, but that it's really, really critical to get a sense of what your specific pace is. And when you feel it's too stretched, too overwhelmed, and recognizing like, how do I pull this back so that I can continue to do this? Because that's the whole goal here, is you want to keep doing this. You want to keep, if it's a business for you, it's a hobby, you just want it to be sustainable and keep going. And if you push too hard, you're not gonna stick with it, or you're gonna burn yourself out and get too exhausted. Similarly, I just started kind of like working out again. I try to work out, but I kind of fell off the wagon in terms of like working out as regularly as I used to. And I worked out Monday and Tuesday of this week. It's Thursday right now, and I took Wednesday off. And I am, like, really sore right now. And I think I probably pushed myself a little too hard or was lifting, like, too heavy. And so I know, like, today I'm going to work out again. I'll push myself, but I don't think I should lift as heavy as I lifted earlier this week, because I may either injure myself or be too sore to then work out on Friday, like work out tomorrow. And I really want to be established as a like regular routine and habit. And if I overdo it, I may not like come back to it because I'm not going to feel up for it. And I think that's really what it is. Like that's kind of like the granule level. It's like, if you overdo it, you're not going to want to come back like the next day. And then before you know it, it's like you just didn't come back the day after that. And then the day after that. And that's why I think it's the small doses or sustainable doses is so much more significant than like giant pushes of like work. And, you know, this like, we're not doing a HIIT workout, okay, where it's like 30 seconds on, like, you know, what is it, 30 seconds on, or no, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, or whatever. It's like, no, we're going consistently, slowly, sustainably, and figuring out the pace. And so that requires knowing when to say no, which comes back to what I was saying before, of like knowing what projects are not going to give you joy or keep you motivated, that are going to feel like something that's going to burn you out. And being able to say no to those projects so you can stay in the fight, stay in the game. So, all right, I hope that was interesting, helpful, enlightening in some way. It really is just about sticking with it. This is a long game. This is not a sprint. This is something that is a lifestyle in a way, which feels weird to say, but it's a practice. That's gonna take your whole life, really, if you decide to go down this journey. And that sounds overwhelming, but it's really just one day at a time of being an artist. Like, it really is. It's just one day at a time. It's 1 hour at a time sitting down to create, and that's it. And so figure out your pace, figure out what works for you so you can stay in it. Thank you guys for listening. I will talk to you next week.